So, yeah, today is Jersey Reveal Sunday for our student mission trip. I'm so grateful for your generosity towards it. But I thought there was no better way to begin my message than by sharing with you a story of what I would consider to be the greatest moment in coaching history in football. Back in 2007, Oklahoma State's now former head coach, Mike Gundy, walked into a press conference furious. And in a now viral YouTube video, the background is that this reporter had written a harsh article about one of his players, a young college quarterback, barely 20 years old. And this reporter, this newspaper reporter, had misrepresented the facts about him and really drug his name through the mud. And Mike Gundy was furious. He came into the press conference, slammed the newspaper on the table, pointed directly at the reporter, and said, "Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. It was a glorious moment. It became one of the most quoted sports moments on YouTube. And Mike Gundy was effectively saying, "Listen, if you're going to come after one of my players, you're going to have to come through me first." And man, I'll tell you, if I was a parent of a student athlete looking to go play somewhere, D1 college football player, I would have said, "I want to send him to Mike Gundy." Because that moment captured something every good leader, every good shepherd feels, and that is a fierce love for the people under his care. A fierce love for the people under his care. I want to invite you to open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we take a look at this amazing metaphor that God uses to encourage elders and shepherds to lead in just that kind of way over their people. Today's message is entitled Shepherds and Sheep, and often when the concept of shepherds and sheep comes up in the pulpit, the emphasis is on how dumb sheep are. I'm sorry for that. But more importantly, I think, the scripture often uses this metaphor to portray sheep not necessarily or not only as dumb, but especially, specifically, as being vulnerable. Vulnerable sheep who need the protection of a shepherd. Throughout the scripture, God calls, in the New Testament specifically, God calls his church to a shepherding culture in which the elders shepherd their people and the people follow their shepherds. Why? Because as we'll see here this morning, we are all under attack from an enemy. We are under attack from an enemy, and that's why we're launching this strategic shepherding culture here at Grace, where all of us will be connected to a shepherd who will lovingly shepherd each household as we try to follow Jesus in a fallen world where an enemy is seeking someone to devour. So today we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter really shows us what a healthy relationship looks like between shepherds and sheep. And as we go through this passage this morning, I want you to imagine really ultimately where I want this to go, and that is imagine for a moment what it would be like if no one at Grace ever slipped through the cracks. Imagine for a moment what it would be like if every single household here had a shepherd, someone they knew, someone who prayed for them, someone who cared for them, someone who celebrated with them when life was good and checked in on them when life was hard. And that's ultimately what we're moving toward. Now, to see what I mean, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 together this morning. And in your worship guide, you'll find your outline. First, we're going to take a look at the role of the shepherds. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Then number 2, we'll take a look at the role of the sheep. That's you in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 9. And third, we'll talk about the strategy. A little more meat on the bones of what the strategy of this shepherding culture will look like here at Grace. So first, let's look at number 1 on your outline. And before we jump into the text, let me just set up the context and the background for you for just a moment. The book of 1 Peter was written around the year 63 or 64. And what you really need to understand about this is that was an era in time. Nero was the emperor. And Christianity under Nero was facing increasing levels of persecution. So Peter is writing this letter to believers who are scattered all around the Roman province of Asia Minor, what we call Turkey today. And they were facing increasing levels of persecution and hostility because they were following Jesus. They were living in a world where following Jesus would cost them their job, their reputation, and in some cases, even their life. And this is the reality that Peter's audience is facing. And so it's really into that context of persecution that we then turn to our verses this morning, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 9. Peter's instructions to the shepherds, to the sheep, that we'll then use to develop our strategy for today. First, let's take a look at Peter's exhortation to the elders, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Here's the command. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. The first thing I want to highlight here just briefly is notice how Peter begins. Notice how he describes himself here. He doesn't say, listen, as an apostle, I command you. As the first pope, which he wasn't, I command you. But notice how he describes himself. He doesn't pull rank. He says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder, as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as a partaker also with you of the glory that's to be revealed. You have to love Peter's humility here. He could have just pulled rank. He could have just led in with the command, but instead he says, as your fellow elder, he comes alongside them as a brother, not as their boss. And even here in verse 1, Peter's modeling tremendous humility, a theme that will be repeated in these verses, humility. But notice his command. He's exhorting them, and the main exhortation or command we see there in verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God among you. Shepherd the flock of God among you. This, by the way, is the very same thing that Jesus himself told Peter that day on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee around a charcoal fire after Jesus' resurrection. Remember, Jesus came to his disciples and he said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Peter's taking this same charge given to him by Jesus and now giving it to the elders of these churches all over Asia Minor. Shepherd the flock of God among you. But what does that mean exactly? What does it mean? What does it look like to shepherd the flock of God among you? Obviously, that's a metaphor. Now, Peter then tells us exactly what that means. Take a note of the descriptor phrase, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. This is specifically how shepherds, elders, are to shepherd their sheep. They're to exercise oversight over them. This means to accept the responsibility for the care of another person. To accept the responsibility of care for another person. It carries with it this idea of watching over them, not as a boss, but as a guardian, as a shepherd, as a caretaker. So using this metaphor, imagine a shepherd there on the hillside in the middle of Israel at night. The sheep are there resting, relaxing, but the shepherd stays awake, scanning the horizons, looking for danger, looking for the enemy approaching. And that is what Peter has in mind here. Elders, shepherds are to stay awake spiritually, watching over the souls of those God has entrusted to them. He says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Take that responsibility. And then in using three additional phrases, he explains what he means even more. What does it mean to shepherd the flock? What does it mean to exercise oversight? Notice what he says, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. Number two, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. And number three, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Now notice in each of these phrases, there's a what not to do, followed by what to do. There's a warning, don't lead this way, followed by a calling, instead I want you to lead this way. Let's take a look at each of these concepts one at a time. First, verse 2, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. In other words, an elder, a shepherd, serves not because he has to, but because he's called to. Not under compulsion means we don't lead because someone twisted our arm or because no one else would do it or because we feel guilty if we say no. It's not an obligation, but it's really an opportunity. And that's then on the positive side, he says not under compulsion, but voluntarily. This word describes the sense of eagerness and willingness, the desire to serve freely because this is God's will for your life according to the will of God. And I love that this is where Peter begins because I'll tell you, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of people in ministry, whether voluntary ministry or even full-time vocational ministry, who've burned out. They've burned out because I think they were doing it under obligation. But on the other hand, I've seen people who have endured incredible hardship, incredible persecution in ministry, but they've persevered through it because ultimately they knew that it was God's calling on their life. They were doing it not under compulsion, but voluntarily because this is what God had called them to do. The second way Peter describes what it is to shepherd the flock of God and exercising oversight. He says there at the end of verse 2, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not for sordid gain. In other words, a true shepherd doesn't serve for what he can get out of people or get from people, but he serves for what he can give to them. The phrase sordid gain most specifically refers to shameful profit, the idea of doing ministry for selfish financial advantage. That could obviously be financial, but it could also, I would suggest to you, be for the applause, for the position, for the control that might come with the position. But Peter says, listen, don't shepherd that way. Instead, notice, shepherd with eagerness. Not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. This word eagerness paints the picture of someone who's excited to serve. It's the attitude they wake up with saying, God, I can't believe you allow me to do this. It's shepherding people eagerly where ministry becomes your joy, not a job. And listen, I can honestly tell you this morning that I still get thrilled, abundantly excited each and every Sunday that I get to come and shepherd you through the pulpit, through the Word of God. Not because it's easy, not because it's glamorous, but because I can imagine nothing greater than feeding the people of God through the ministry of the Word. So thank you for the privilege, for the joy of being able to shepherd you in this way. The third phrase Peter uses here, verse 3, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Take note of that phrase, lording it over. Peter says, don't lord it over those allotted to your charge. That phrase, lording it over, means to be domineering, to throw your weight around, to demand control rather than serve. Peter, in effect, says that's not the way spiritual leadership works. That's not the way shepherding works. By the way, I believe Peter here is echoing something Jesus said firsthand. You can jot down Mark chapter 10, an amazing story. Remember the scene, James and John begin this debate among the disciples about who's gonna be the greatest in the kingdom, who's gonna sit in the privileged seats in the kingdom. They're jockeying for power, right? But Jesus says to his disciples, you know that those who are rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Jesus says, listen, the Gentiles are all about position and control and authority. But you, as my follower, you're about service, being a servant. So instead of driving people through control, Peter says, notice, instead, prove to be examples to the flock. Shepherding people, in other words, is not about telling them what to do, barking out orders, but instead it's about showing them who to become. The greatest influence an elder, a shepherd, will ever have in a church is not by running programs, but by setting a personal example. Like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Shepherds are not to drive God's people through control, but to lead them by being an example of Christ-like character. And that's what shepherding's really about. And notice then in verse 4, Peter ups the ante and reminds these shepherds, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. When the chief shepherd appears, and remember, you're not him, you will, if you're a faithful under-shepherd, receive the unfading crown of glory. In the Greco-Roman world, athletes were crowned with a wreath of laurel leaves, a symbol of victory, but it quickly withered and faded in coming days. But here Peter says that Jesus will reward these faithful under-shepherds with an unfading crown of glory, one that will never fade, never wilt, never lose its shine. In other words, it's Jesus saying to them, well done, my good and faithful servant. What a great motivator to be reminded that one day we'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give an account. Now, I do want to pause right here and make sure you understand that we're not saved by how good of a shepherds we are or by our service in the church or by our success, but we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The good news of the gospel is that God sent his son who took on flesh, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again on the third day. And if there's anybody here this morning, if you don't know that you're saved, if you're redeemed, I want to give you the opportunity, the invitation to put your faith in Jesus right where you are. What Peter's talking about here is this idea of reward. That every act of unseen faithfulness, every quiet hospital visit, every prayer whispered over a hurting soul, Jesus sees it all. And he, the good shepherd, will reward us for our faithfulness to him in this life. So notice this. Peter has just painted a picture of what spiritual leadership should look like. A church led by elders, by shepherds who serve willingly, selflessly, humbly. And now, as we look at number 2 on your outline, he shifts his focus to the sheep. to the rest of the church, because for every faithful shepherd, there must also be willing sheep. Or to use a modern analogy, again, think of a football team. While the head coach might be the one who calls the plays, the success of the team depends on everyone trusting his plan and doing their part on the field. And the same is true in a church. God designed the church. God designed this organization to work in such a way where shepherds lead with humility and the flock follows with humility. Let's take a look at number two on your outline, where Peter addresses the sheep, beginning in verse 5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So Peter here turns his attention to the congregation, to the sheep. He says specifically, younger men. Younger men. And this could be taken a number of different ways. It could be referring to people who are actually younger. But I think he's using it more broadly in the sense of those who aren't elders. You can jot down and look up later Luke 22, verse 26. Luke 22, 26, where Jesus says, the one who is greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. And so Peter, I believe, here is picking up on Jesus' words in Luke 22 and saying, ultimately, to those of you who aren't elders. And notice the command he then gives to the church, to those who aren't elders, to the congregation. He says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. Be subject to. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and address the elephant in the room. Man, we hate that word, submit and be subject to, right? It's become a dirty word in our culture, in our context. This is the fifth time that Peter's used this particular word, but it means to willingly place yourself under someone else. Or in this context, to willingly place yourself under the elder's guidance. Peter has used this same word to describe submitting to government authorities. He uses the same word to describe submitting to masters or submitting in marriage. Our culture says this is a dirty word, but it's actually a beautiful word. This isn't, though, blind obedience. It's simply saying, listen, this is God's plan for the structure of a church, and I'm going to willingly submit myself to it. I love how Chuck Swindoll describes this. He says, this means being open to the elders' reproofs, watching their lives and following their good examples, accepting their decisions without second-guessing and challenging them all the time, respecting their years of experience and honor their seasons' lives. All of this is included in this call for younger believers to be subject to the elders. So Peter's saying, listen, God's design for the church is for the shepherds to lead, the sheep to follow. And he's a realist, and so notice what he says next in verse 5. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter recognizes that what he's asking elders to do and asking the congregation to do will require quite a bit of humility. He here quotes from the book of Proverbs chapter 3 to exhort everyone, elders and congregants, shepherds and sheep, to clothe themselves with humility. And that's the call for all of us, shepherds and sheep alike, to wear humility every day like a football jersey that identifies us with the real team that we're on. The elders must act in humility as they lead the flock, proving to be examples for the flock, and the congregation must humbly submit to that leadership of the elders, of the shepherds. And then notice what he says next in verses 5 and 6. And every junior high kid said, or 6, 7, I'm sorry, 6, 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Notice again the reoccurring theme of humility that's here. Peter recognizes that ultimately we're humbling ourselves before the Lord. We're humbling ourselves before the Lord that he may exalt us at the proper time. And notice, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Listen, anxiety is often pride in disguise because we think that we have to be in control. But humility releases that control and says, God, okay, I'm going to follow your plan. And when we cast our cares on him, he trades our anxiety for his peace. Now, all of this, notice, Peter is saying, under this context of persecution, look at verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He's saying, listen, you're not the only ones who are suffering. You're not the only ones who are being attacked by this adversary, the devil, prowling around like a roaring lion. He's reminding his audience here, he's reminding us here that we need shepherds because we have a common enemy. Shepherds and sheep are called to be of sober spirit, to be on the alert because our enemy Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Simply put, a sheep without a shepherd cannot survive alone in this spiritual battle. So shepherds are to lead, sheep are to follow because we have an enemy who's trying to destroy us. So finally, let's look at number 3 on our outline and ask the real practical question, okay, what is this going to look like? What does this look like for us at Grace Bible Church as we began and launched this real shepherding culture we've been talking about? Let's take a look at the strategy. What application can we make? Listen, Peter's words here aren't just a theology to study, but they're a blueprint, I believe, for us to follow. And if we're going to really live out what Peter describes here in 1 Peter 5, we have to build this culture of shepherding. And that's what our goal is. Our goal, as you've heard me say before, is that every single household here at Grace, you will be assigned to one of our shepherds. This is not a program, but it's really ministry. It's not about micromanagement. It's about caring for your soul. It's a way for us to make sure that no one here at Grace ever feels alone, that we can come alongside of you and bear your burdens with you. And this really is how a group of people ultimately become a church family. So to get specific, let me tell you practically what this is going to look like. First, I would encourage you once again, after the service, to go out into the commons, go to the kiosk, and make sure your name is listed in our database so you will be assigned to one of our shepherds. And at the end of the year, we're going to begin really where the rubber meets the road of this particular shepherding culture. And the goal is at least 4 times a year, at least once a quarter, your shepherd is going to reach out to you, maybe over a phone call, maybe over a cup of coffee, maybe here in the commons at the church. But they're going to ask these questions, exercising oversight over you. Just real simple questions like, hey, how's your walk with the Lord right now? How would you describe your walk with the Lord? How's your family doing? Your spouse, if you're married, your children, if you have children or grandchildren. What good things has the Lord been doing in your life? How can we celebrate with you? Hey, is there an area in the church where you've been serving, or maybe one where you'd like to jump in and start serving? Have you had any opportunities to share your faith lately? How can we come alongside you in that? Do you have any burdens, whether financial or spiritual, that we can bear with you? Do you have any questions or concerns that you want to share with our elder board? I promise you, these questions are not meant to be invasive questions. They're meant to be shepherding questions. They're meant to help us know you, to pray for you specifically by name, and to be able to walk beside you in the Christian life. Now, I also want to recognize, if I'm putting myself in your shoes, I might be a little hesitant. I'm kind of a private person myself, and so I recognize if that's you, I understand. But I would suggest to you that we really have to push against the habits of our culture, the culture that tells you to keep your struggles private, to pretend like you're fine, and to isolate when life gets hard. Biblical shepherding calls us to something radically different than what the world says and tells us to do. What we see here is it will require that we humble ourselves enough to be known for and cared for and prayed for, ultimately to make the flock of God here at Grace flourish. And so I've got three things I want to share with you. First for the elders, second for the people, and third for all of us. First for our elders and for our shepherds. I want to encourage you to lead as those who are being led by the chief shepherd, Jesus. Lead as those who are being led by Jesus, the chief shepherd. Lead willingly, not reluctantly. Lead humbly, not pridefully. Be approachable to our people. Be an example worth following. Second, to our people. My encouragement would be to follow your shepherds with grace and trust. These are not perfect men, I promise you. In fact, Chuck Swindoll summarizes this passage saying, God calls imperfect shepherds to lead imperfect sheep in the service of a perfect God who has a perfect plan. Imperfect shepherds leading imperfect sheep in the service of a perfect God who has a perfect plan. But our shepherds are going to lead as God directs them, and we're asking you to follow them, not with blind obedience, but with joyful submission to God's design for the church. Pray for your elders, pray for your shepherds, encourage them, and let them know how they can serve you the best. And then finally, for all of us, shepherds and sheep, remember that we're in this together. We're part of one flock under one chief shepherd, and we have one common enemy. The devil, I promise you, would love nothing more than to divide, discourage, and devour. But when we stay close to Jesus and to one another, he loses his footing in our life. So there on the backside of your outline, I've given you some application questions for this week. This week, take one step toward a deeper shepherding community. Specifically, again, I would encourage you to visit the kiosk in the commons to ensure that you're listed there in our database. Peter is painting a picture of a healthy church, where shepherds lead, where people follow, where we all live together collectively under the chief shepherd of our souls. And that's my hope, my prayer, my dream for Grace Bible Church, a flock that knows that it's loved. So let's walk together, shepherds and sheep together, shoulder to shoulder, following Jesus, the shepherd of our souls. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we do come before you this morning. We thank you for calling us as your flock, for giving us the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. Teach us to walk in humility under your leadership of us. Give us elders and shepherds who will love us, guide them by your wisdom, and give all of us, your people, grace and trust as we follow. May this be a church where your care for us is seen, where your word is obeyed, where your love is felt. And when our chief shepherd appears, may we be found faithful, standing firm in our faith, walking humbly with our God, and rejoicing in your unfading glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.